Well, as I mentioned earlier, today I continue my sermon series on the Gospel of Luke. During my last sermon in this series, we heard about Jesus' baptism and his family history. But what happened after Jesus was baptized? Well, in today's reading from Luke chapter 4, we learn that immediately after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness so that he could be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Now, immediately we might wonder, why did the Father ask Jesus to do this? Well, simply put, Jesus did this so that he could overcome temptation and the tempter for us. For example, Luke records three temptations the devil used to try to overcome Jesus. First, the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." But remember, Jesus had nothing to eat for 40 days. You might wonder why his father asked him to do this. Well, fasting was a discipline that taught you to deny yourself so that you could focus on God and others. In fact, the practice of fasting during Lent, which wouldn't hurt most Americans to do, including myself, the whole point of fasting is that you're teaching yourself to say no to things you want, so that you can learn to have self-discipline, to deny yourself so that you can learn to put God and others first. So Jesus was simply denying himself, and boy, would he need to learn to do that. Because after this temptation in the wilderness, he would be journeying to the cross. And every part of his inner being would be saying, "No, you don't want that. You want something else." But Jesus would have to learn to deny himself. And so fasting was just a simple preparation for that even greater sacrifice. And so, how does Jesus answer the devil's temptation to give in to himself and serve himself? Jesus says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." You see, even though God knows that we need food, even though he created us as beings who need physical nourishment, more than physical nourishment, we need a faith relationship with God. If we don't trust the Lord, then all the physical nourishment, all the riches of the world mean absolutely nothing. Well, during the second temptation, the devil offers Jesus a life of splendor and power. Why? Well, the devil knows that the Father had asked Jesus to deny himself, even to the point of dying on a cross. So the devil pretends to be a better father. It's almost like the devil is saying, "Jesus, why should you follow your father when he's asking you to go to the cross? Why don't you let me be your father? I'll give you lots of great stuff." But there's a condition. The devil says, "I'll give all this to you if you will worship me." But Jesus says, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." You see, Jesus knows that all the pleasure and all the treasure of this world will do us no good if we reject the one true God and instead worship a false God. You see, all false gods are really deceptions of the devil. All false gods are our own creations. Creations. False gods we make so that they will give us what we want. But Jesus trusts his Father and desires to do what he wants. Well, the devil's final temptation is especially deceptive. The devil actually has the chutzpah to quote scripture to Jesus. Now, of course, the devil quotes it out of context. He misuses this scripture in order to tempt Jesus to put his father to the test. You see, the devil is trying to get Jesus to doubt his father. But Jesus responds by correctly interpreting Scripture. Jesus says, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, Jesus knows that the psalm the devil quoted is true. God does promise to care for us. But Jesus also knows that God will care for us in His time and in His way. Sometimes God allows us to go through periods of suffering. Jesus knows that ultimately He's going to end up on a cross. And yet, He trusts that in the end, His Father will finally deliver Him. But He will do it in His time and in His way. Well, the devil failed. Jesus stuck to His guns and remained faithful to His Father. The final verse of our gospel reading is very interesting, however. Luke writes, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left Jesus until an opportune time. Here we see the devil isn't done tempting Jesus. He's going to wait for an opportune time. So, when was that opportune time? Well, think about it. When would Jesus be most vulnerable? When would Jesus most likely be tempted to say, that's it, Father. I refuse to obey you any longer. I don't see why I should have to die for those sinners. I'm going to do what I want to do. Of course, that opportune time was when Jesus was hanging on a cross. In fact, just as Luke records three temptations from the devil while Jesus was in the wilderness, interestingly, Luke also records three temptations from the devil while Jesus was on the cross. The only difference is that when Jesus was in the wilderness, the devil tempted Him directly, but when Jesus is on the cross, the devil works through instruments. He works through people to tempt Jesus. For example, in Luke 23, verse 35, it says, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at Jesus. They said, He saved others. Let Him save Himself if He is the Christ, the Chosen One. Can you hear the devil mocking Him? If you are the Son of God, prove it. Come down. The second temptation is like this. In Luke 23, verses 36 through 37, it says, the soldiers also came up and mocked Jesus. They said, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Do you hear the devil talking again? He doesn't want Jesus to finish His work on the cross. Finally, the third temptation. Luke 23, verse 39 reads, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Isn't that ironic? The criminal asked Jesus to save him by using His power to stop the crucifixion. Little did this criminal know that Jesus was saving him by not saving himself. You see, the devil wanted Jesus to deny His Father's will and turn away from the cross because the devil knew that if Jesus finished His work on the cross, salvation would be accomplished for us. But Jesus was not overcome by the devil's temptation. Jesus overcame the tempter by obeying His Father's will to the very end. Jesus did not save Himself so that He could save us from the devil's temptation. You see, we need to realize something about the devil. The devil acts like your best friend when he tempts you. The devil gets you to think that God is holding out on you and that the devil really has in store something that's good for you. But once you've been overcome by temptation, once you take the devil's bait, then he will turn on you with all his rage and fury. The devil will then throw your sins back in your face, and he will remind you how wicked you are and how God has every reason to hate you. And you know what? The devil's right. We are wicked, and God does have every reason to hate us. The devil should be able to mock us forever in hell. But he won't. Why not? Because the tempter has been overcome by Christ. Now, how did Jesus overcome the devil? He did it in two ways. First, Jesus overcame the devil for you by taking away the devil's right to accuse you before God. Remember, after the devil tempts you, he then turns on you and accuses you and accuses you and accuses you. He wants you to think that God will never forgive you. But you can confess to God all the times that you've been overcome by temptation, and you can have the confidence that you are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus. The devil can accuse you all he wants, but you are clean and innocent before God because of Jesus' shed blood for you. Now, the second way that the devil has been overcome by Jesus is that Jesus has taken away the devil's power to tempt us. For example, when Jesus returns in glory on the final day, the devil will be completely destroyed, and he will never, ever, ever again tempt God's people. We will be able to live forever without ever being tempted. Of course, we're not there yet. While we're in this world, the devil still continues to prowl around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So as long as we're living this world, we have to deal with temptation. But how does Jesus help us to overcome it? He's given us a resource. For example, if you look at what Jesus does in our gospel reading, you will see that there is a way that God has given us to overcome the temptations of the devil. For example, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes this: "Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to take a stand against the schemes of the devil. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Did you hear that? Jesus helps us overcome the devil by showing us that we should use God's word against him. This means that we should fill our minds and our hearts with Holy Scripture. We should hear, read, and study the Bible as often as possible. Because if you can learn to quote God's word when faced with temptation, you will discover that you won't have to be overcome so often. So, the two ways Jesus has overcome the devil is that, number one, he's taken away his power to accuse us, and number two, God has given us Holy Scripture as a weapon we can use to ward off the temptations of the evil one. However, having said all that, we must remember that no matter how hard we try, no matter how well we use God's word against the attacks of the devil, the fact is, we will always fall short of total victory. You see, unlike Jesus, we are sinners. That means sometimes, despite our best efforts, we will be overcome by temptation. In fact, even if we can avoid all sinful behaviors, which I think is unlikely, but even if we can avoid all sinful behaviors, the fact is we still have the desires of our sinful nature lurking in our hearts and our minds. Therefore, we need to recognize that even though Jesus is our example, he's much more than that. Jesus is first and foremost our Savior, the one who has overcome temptation and the tempter for us. You see, the reason Jesus went into the wilderness was not merely to give us an example of how to overcome the devil. The reason Jesus went into the wilderness was to reverse the curse that came from Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, and that also was perpetuated by our own sin against God. Jesus went into the wilderness to overcome the devil for us. My friends, Jesus completely rejected every temptation of the devil. And he did that for you. When you were baptized, you were clothed with the perfection and holiness of Jesus. And so when God looks at you, he sees you as someone who has never, ever been overcome by temptation. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus, the one who trusted his Father perfectly, the one who overcame every temptation of the devil. Jesus did that for you. That's good news. My friends, we sinners face temptations every moment of every day. And sometimes we're overcome. That's why we need to trust in the one who overcame temptation for us. Now, as I said, one day Jesus will return in power and glory, and then he will destroy the devil forever, and we will never be tempted again. But until that final day, we need to remember that Jesus has overcome the tempter for us. Now, in closing, you need to know that this coming Wednesday, we begin the church season known as Lent. During Lent, we focus on how Jesus was willing to deny himself and journey to the cross for us so that we might be saved. And our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 4, dealing with Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, deals with Lent beautifully. In fact, the 40 days of Lent is based on the 40 days that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. You see, during Lent, we focus on two things. Number one, we focus on how Jesus constantly denied himself as he journeyed to the cross. During those 40 days in the wilderness, he had plenty of opportunities to turn around and go the other way, but he didn't. He continued to focus on the cross, and he did that for you and for me. Therefore, during Lent, we also get to think about how we can be like Jesus. During Lent, as we think about what Jesus has done for us, we also learn to deny ourselves, to bring our sins to God, knowing that we are forgiven in Jesus, and then by his strength, learning to say no to them and yes to God's loving plan for our lives. Therefore, as we all together prepare to enter this 40-day journey called Lent, I'd like you to turn to our sermon hymn once again, hymn 418. And in closing, I want to read the words of this hymn for you, which is simply a Lenten prayer. So please meditate on these words as I read them for you. O Lord, throughout these 40 days you prayed and kept the fast. Inspire repentance for our sin and free us from our past. You strove with Satan and you won. Your faithfulness endured. Lend us your nerve, your skill and trust in God's eternal word. Though parched and hungry, yet you prayed and fixed your mind above. So teach us to deny ourselves, since we have known God's love. Be with us through this season, Lord, and all our earthly days, that when the final Easter dawns, we join in heaven's praise. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.